Welcome to KathleenWhitten.org. We believe that Kathleen's message will inspire you, encourage you, and give you a fresh perspective on life. Now, here's Kathleen.
This teaching is going to be about God the Father. You know, we talked last week about God being a perfect God, and He created the Garden of Eden, the perfect location, and He made man and woman, Adam and Eve, in His image, three in one, that He is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Just as we are made in His image, we are a spirit, and we have a body, and we have a soul, our personality, which is our mind, our will, and our emotions. We completely are the image of God. I was thinking about that this morning, and I was blown away by that, thinking, am I really the image of God? And when are we most the image of God? We're made in God's image, and none of us can perfectly reflect Him, but we're supposed to reflect Him because we're made in His image. And then I love God the Father, and that's what I want to focus on so much today, because when you go back to the beginning, like we did the first time, God the Father saw Adam and Eve choose to disobey Him. And He gives choices, because we talked about love has to be a choice. If you're just a robot, it's not really love. Like, I used to want a robot for a daughter. I thought, if only, you know, especially when they're like three and then everything is in the mouth and hands and down and under. And I thought, if she could just do everything I told her to do. But then when she wraps her arms around me now at almost age 17 and says, I love you, Mom. And I know it's her choice. It's really love. And so Adam and Eve are given a choice, and they chose to disbelieve God and disobey God. And I love this about God the Father. Right away, the first thing in His heart was, I want to forgive Him. Did you know that? I didn't even realize that before. Right away, He had a plan to forgive them. And true forgiveness, you really think about it, real forgiveness in your life, think about somebody that's really hurt you or hurt your family, and you really forgave them. Real, true forgiveness is always a sacrifice. If it's really, truly forgiveness, it's always a sacrifice. And God the Father looked at us as children, because see, God's not just God of the present, He's God of the past and God of the future. So He saw not just Adam and Eve, but all of us in this room, and already had a plan to forgive by sacrificing Himself. Isn't that amazing? I mean, I hope I tell this story right, but we gotta really get our heart around forgiveness and sacrifice and how it goes together, and how only through God. There was a Christian grandmother that lived in the countryside, and her grandson and his good friend would go out in the countryside, visit often, and play. And as they grew older, they played and more bike together, threw a ball together. She made them tea. This was in the 40s, actually maybe the late 30s. But anyway, it became a very unsafe place to grow up in Nazi Germany. And so they came to her house fewer and fewer times. But they loved her house because there were places to hide and there were things to do. She had a pantry with some stairs behind her kitchen, and they just were boys. And as time went on, her daughter had married a Jewish man, and her grandchild was considered Jewish. And soon the other boy that grew up playing at our house started ignoring him and shunning him. And to make a long story short, eventually turned his family into the SS, secret police, the Nazis. And during one of the bombings, this man, this young man that had turned in his friend and the mother of his friend and the father was hurt in one of the bombings and had nowhere to go but to her house, to the grandmother's house. Forgiveness is letting him in. And she did. But forgiveness is always a sacrifice. I mean, it's something that it's got to come so deep from God. And I think about him looking at us, you know, all those many thousands of years ago and saying, I want to sacrifice myself. Isn't that the heart of a father? Mm-hmm. That's the heart of a true father. He's a great father. What I love, one of the biggest rewards that I have is in Hebrews 11:6, it actually says that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I mean, who knew? He didn't have to do that. I mean, it's kind of like, I'm going to give you a blessing for a blessing for a blessing for a blessing, and I'm a blessing. And I mean, that's what I feel like with God. It's like, it's all a blessing. It's like, why do you think it's so hard for you to open your Bible? Because the enemy doesn't want you to be blessed. He doesn't want you to see truth. He doesn't want you to be refreshed. He doesn't want you to come in here and be open to the Holy Spirit. He doesn't want you to have your life metamorphosized. But you will, as soon as you open the Word and just open your heart to the truth of Jesus. And so one of the things that God has shown me just in seeking him, and yet he seeks you also. Isn't it amazing that, like, we're not the seekers? You know, sometimes you think, well, we're, you know, I'm a seeker and we're out seeking. No, God's a seeker too. He sought you. He found you. He chose you. This kind of blows my mind. It's beyond what I can comprehend with my mind, but my heart understands, sort of. God has given me the biggest reward of not knowing, not only knowing who I am, but knowing whose I am. And as I sit here, I'm going to tell you how this came about. When I was in the hospital with leukemia, my daughter was in kindergarten, and I had this long blonde hair down to the middle of my back, and I was busy as a mother, and I was busy with, I did things with Youth for Christ and Campus Life, and I worked for them for a long time and worked with kids in a shelter, basically a permanent living facility, I guess is the correct way to say it, and did Bible studies with them. And, you know, I thought that was my identity, and I went in the hospital with leukemia, and I was not only given a very grim picture, but all of a sudden, it was like I started losing my hair, you know, till I had no more. That was kind of my identity, you know, like, oh, that's Maddie's mom, the one with the long hair, you know? No. And then I told my mom, I said, Mom, there's something really freeing happening to me. I'm losing my identity. And so she told someone, and this woman went to prayer because that didn't sound right to her. You know what I'm saying? You know what we do as humans? We're like, oh, well, that can't be right. So I'm going to pray that you don't lose your identity. But then I did even more because I couldn't be a mother. You know, I had blood. I had a port in my heart for the blood transfusions and for the chemotherapy. I was hooked up to this thing. I was weak, and I couldn't go home. Are you kidding? I couldn't go home. My daughter couldn't even visit me very much. Couldn't be a mother. Lost that identity. Told my mom, Mom, something really good is happening. I'm really getting something. I started to feel like, you know who I am? I'm a child of God. And you know, once you know you're a child of God and once you know who you are and whose you are, you never have that like lost feeling again. It's like, I know now, hair's gone, that's fine, you know. Job as a mother's gone, don't like that, but that's fine, you know. Can't do anything for other people because I'm one of those people that I like to do things for other people. That's fine. Who are you? You're a child of God. You belong to Him, and He is our Father. I wrote a poem. I love to write poems, and I just want to share this one with you. It's called The First to See You Smile. It just says, I beheld you fully, although you were still invisible to the human eye. I picked you up and pulled you close to my heart. I was the first to see you smile. Gently, with happy tears, I placed you in your mother's womb and prayed, for a true father always prays when he must be separated from his child. I watched your birthday. I was there for all your birthdays. I was there for all your firsts, and I'll be there for all your lasts. I chose your personality, your passions, your talents, your dreams, all that make up the real you. And that's why even when you don't understand you, I do, because I made you and I love you. I chose you, and from the day I let you go, I waited for you to choose me back. On that day, all of heaven rejoiced. But I cried with incredible relief and joy because I'm your dad. Nothing thrills my heart more than when you look to me and call me your father. Do it more and don't stop doing it. Even when you feel badly about yourself, your decisions, and your sins. Run to me, tell me that you love me, ask me to forgive you, ask me to help you, and watch me take the biggest mess and make it into your greatest blessing. Don't forget who I am, and don't forget whose you are. I was the first to see you smile. You know, our Heavenly Father wants that relationship with us, you know, as a dad, where we can say, Dad, you know, I need you. Not an imperfect earthly father, because all of us are imperfect on this earth, but a perfect Heavenly Father. And He wants that relationship with us, but it's through His forgiveness and sacrifice of Himself that the relationship comes. And it's like this morning, I was just praying and spending time with the God a little bit in the Bible, and I get so excited when I get to do that because all the kids are out of the house and everything, and now all the animals are in the house, but I don't know how that happened, but now that has happened. It's like a petting zoo. But they don't talk. So I was just content to be reading the Bible, and it just hit me somehow for the first time. God's plan forgiveness, His real true forgiveness of us, had to be sacrifice. You know, that grandmother's forgiveness of her grandson's friend had to be sacrifice. That's only a piece of what God had felt. And yet, it has to be a self-sacrifice. Forgiveness is always a sacrifice of yourself. If you're having trouble forgiving anyone right now, I can promise you, you're holding on to something of yourself. You're protecting something of yourself. Forgiveness is total self-sacrifice. And yeah, it does open your heart to be hurt again. And no, it doesn't mean you go back to the person and have to reestablish a relationship. It can just be, I forgive you. And it can be someone that's already gone. You know, I've had many people come for counsel and over the years, and just distraught because they weren't able to have that kind of conversation with someone before they left. Well, I'm just joyful to tell you that if you forgive them, they know now. God is God of the present, the past, the future. He is our perfect Heavenly Father. And while I was in the hospital, had no hair. There was this male nurse, and I have to try to not say his name because I do remember his name. And he was so spazzy. I mean, I'm very serious. You can ask my family. I mean, he was like, what do you need? Anybody? What? And, you know, this was on the oncology ward, and so there weren't that many young people. It was mostly elderly people, and he had tattoos all up and down his throat and neck and stuff. So, I mean, I really liked him, but a lot of the elderly people were like, can we have a different nurse, please? And so he ended up being in my room a lot, and he saw my Bible, and he started showing me pictures of his son. He had this little boy, and he was so proud. Oh my gosh, so proud of this little boy. This little boy was probably about 9 or 10 months old, and just the cutest thing. And every little day or two, he'd show me another picture of his son doing something, and he'd come in there and talk about his son and all the things he wants to teach his son. And he said, you know, one of the things I want to teach my son is I understand the God thing. I mean, I can look around the earth and understand that, okay, this didn't all just morph into being. I can look at a human, I can understand seeing a baby born and understand the God thing, but why the Jesus thing? Why the son thing? I don't get it. I mean, how come you can't just do the God thing? And Mom and I were just silent, which is very rare. And then I said, you know what? I'll call him Lance. I said, Lance, you know what? I said, pretend like I invited you over to my house, you know? Like, I wanted you over for dinner to my house. I wanted you to meet my family. And was so excited for you to come over. He goes, oh, that'd be great. And I said, yeah. And I said, yeah. And you got to the door, and I said, you know, I want you to meet my family. And you got up to the door, and I opened the door to you, and I saw you had your son with you. And I said to you, oh, I'm sorry, you're welcome, Lance, but not your son. He said, well, I'd say to you, if my son's not welcome, I'm not welcome either. And I said, that's what God said. That's what God said. That's what God said. The son is the part of God that was sacrificed for our forgiveness. And that's why we have to receive Jesus, because he was a part of God, the Father. It was the sacrifice sent for all of us.
We hope that you've enjoyed Kathleen's message. To order a copy of this and other messages, please call us in San Antonio, Texas at 210-822-5500 or toll free outside the San Antonio area, 877-397-7773. That's 1-877-397-7773. Visit our website, KathleenWhitten.org, KathleenWhitten.org. Thank you.